Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially here. The Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask. It's our new bonus item when you sign up, renew, or upgrade to a yearly EPP membership at ghostpodcast.com.
What does EPP stand for? Extra Podcast Person.
Hurry, supplies are limited of the Real Ghost Stories Online Spirit Flask, a flask with our logo engraved right on it and autographed by us. When you sign up for a yearly EPP membership, you'll not only get a spirit flask, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP bonus episodes, advanced access to regular episodes of the show weeks before they go public, exclusive video content, a fast pass to get your stories to us before everybody else, and so much more.
Plus, you get a month free, too. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Sign up for the yearly EPP membership, get all of that, help keep us on the air, and enjoy your spirit flask. Claim yours now at ghostpodcast.com. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, you guys, because you listen to this program, can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/ghost. That's spelled G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Check it out. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we take your calls and hear some very disturbing ghost stories. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your ghost story with us.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802. You can write in your ghost story to us at realghoststoriesonline.com or email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Be sure to like us. Be sure to give us some stars, whatever platform it is you are listening to us on. Press subscribe. It would help us grow in those rankings. We always do greatly appreciate that. And if you really like the show, you really feel we've made a special connection, not so much that we're going to have dinner together and listen to love jams from Lionel Richie, but you like the show and you think maybe we could have a beer together or something, then go to ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Sign up. Get all the bonus episodes of the program and help keep us on the air. You get advanced episodes of the program as well when you sign up there at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Sean joining you this evening. And how are you this fine day?
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for? I think that was probably one of the low points of our program right there.
I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your smile. You're all I've ever wanted, and my arms are open wide. You were talking about listening to slow jams.
Yeah.
We like your show.
Yeah, exactly.
Having a beer, singing the favorites from Lionel and all the gang.
I guess the weird part about it is I'm usually the one that breaks into the Lionel. So I think people are like, holy shit, what the fuck's going on? Halloween just won't end, will it? Do you have candy corn tonight or something? And
oh, it was customized candy corn.
Oh, you went to Denver.
I did go to Colorado about a month ago. Yeah. Well, before you had mentioned the love jams, I was going to open with, and why is the carpet all wet, Todd?
We're almost there. Almost time to start getting into the Christmas stuff. This is airing pretty close to Thanksgiving. As far as Thanksgiving, I'm looking at the calendar. This is about the 12th. They're right around there as this hits the air. So about a week out from the...
So we're there, is what you're saying.
We are almost there. You can almost smell the stuffing, and you can almost feel the canned cranberries just lurking through the can. That nice little...
Where do you think you're going to put a tree that big, Griswold?
I think
it's... I'll show you. You got a lot of nerve, Gris. I wasn't talking to you.
I'm ready for all the Christmas stuff. Have you seen Krampus yet?
I have not. Tell me more.
I want to see it. It's one that I can't really watch with the children yet. I forgot who's in it, but it came out last year. You know what Krampus is, correct?
I unfortunately do not.
You don't know Krampus? Oh my gosh. No. Oh my. Well, that's fine. Krampus is kind of like the anti-Santa Claus. And I believe it goes back to like Norwegian lore, where Krampus essentially was kind of a threat that parents would give children in like the 1600s and 1700s, a little bit in the 1800s. Basically, if you are bad, Santa just doesn't not bring you presents or coal. Krampus comes and eats you in your sleep on Christmas night. And this is a real thing. You can look it up. Wikipedia, it is this lore that was told to children to keep them in line. And in the last couple of years, it's kind of come in as this weird, bizarro, you know, horror culture thing because it's so strange. But this was really a thing for many, many years. I've been trying to reintroduce it into our household, but I met with very solemn resistance every time I bring up, can we do Krampus this year? I know we're doing Elf on the Shelf, but how about Krampus as well? Not usually something that's going to be allowed, but even a friendly wow. version of Krampus. One of our listeners actually wrote a friendly Krampus book, a children's book about it last year, and they sent me a copy of it, and I read it on the air, I think, with Harper last year. I gotta dig that up. It's around here somewhere. But
I believe I remember watching that. That was a video, a live video, yes? Not just audio.
Well, Krampus or what? What the...
When you and Harper read the book...
I think it was. I think we did like a live.
I remember seeing a little bit of that. So basically, this is rather than leaving him milk and cookies, mm-hmm. you just leave him you.
Essentially, yeah. You leave him the bad children, and the children become
Happy
the cookies.
Yeah.
Exactly. Great way for parenting. It's a new way of parenting for 2018. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's jump over to our first call today. Hi.
This is Phil calling from California, Orange County to be exact. Love the show. Been listening to it for probably close, over a year for sure. And definitely going to be an EPP. My son is telling me to join. So I think I'm going to do it. I want to get freaked out and scared. Throughout the year. But here goes my ghost story. I was young. I was, 11. And me and my dad, we went to Mexico, just me and him. And we're, you know, at my grandparents' house. And they have a corral. And so me and my cousins were, you know, we're playing in this corral where they were building this house. It was a calf built. It wasn't fully built, so you know, just running around, and in the corral, obviously, there's like pigs and horses and you know stuff like that. You know, there's livestock, whatever. So we're playing in this house, halfly built, and it was just us. It was during the day, and I could remember like going through like this house that was like bricks and you know a lot of cement, and it just smelled funky. It smelled nasty. In some of the sections. Anywho, we're playing in this, you know, half-built house. There's, you know, no roof. Just, like, strictly walls and just, like, just, I don't know. It was kind of weird. But nevertheless, there was a truck in this corral. There was an old, like, mini pickup truck. And it was next to the house. So I'm like, me and my cousin, one of the girls, you know, we're coming up to this truck, it was parked right next to this, you know, house and shit. Sorry, I didn't mean to cuss, but, we see somebody like hunched over, like, look, this is straight up, no BS. I see somebody like hunched over, like, you know, like they're in the passenger side almost, and they're just kind of like leaning like towards the driver's seat. And so we come up to it and I mean, I kid you not, this thing, or I don't know what it was. It turned around at us and it was the craziest red eyes I've ever seen. And it like, even right now I'm getting the goosebumps. Like it was just the reddest eyes you'll ever seen. And it didn't say anything. I felt scared. I felt terrified. We ran. We booked it. Boom. When they called my grandpa, since my dad wasn't around, my grandpa came back with his pistol, and nobody was there. It was quite freaky. I'll never forget it. It was crazy. But yeah, that's what happened when I was with my dad in Mexico. Yeah, it must have been like 11 or 12. I was still pretty young. But nevertheless, my dad, he ended up passing away about, it's going to be 6 years now, New Year's Day. And it's another weird thing that happened the day after he passed. So it was New Year's Day, he passed away. And the day after, January 2nd, all the family came over. And, you know, it was just a sad moment. And it was weird because we were in the backyard of our house right now. And my dad had like this little shed, like a smaller little shed where he'd play music, watch TV, and would have a couple beers back there. You know, it was really cool. And he like ran this electric cord from our house to this little house, you know, just to, you know, obviously, you know, play music, watch TV. And, you know, he had his little fridge and stuff. And so he did his little Mickey Mouse connection, you know, with like, just, you know, connected, and it, you know, it went through the air. Anyways, my uncle, he gets a beer and he before he pops it open, he says, "This is for my good friend, my, in Spanish they say compadre. This is for my compadre," since my dad was my cousin's godfather. And so right when he said that, oh my gosh, the extension cord that was running from the little shed to our main house, the main circuit, whatever, it goes into flames. And I'm not talking about a small flame. I'm talking about, and it like, and I mean, these cable cords have been through wind, through rain, you know, through the hot summer, you know, heat, and nothing's ever happened. And right when instantaneously he said that, and those things caught fire. And I could have sworn that's just a sign my dad was there. And I got other stuff, but yeah, it's just kind of hard to talk about him. But yeah, I love the show. This is really cool. Really cool outlet. Thank you for everything you do, and I hope you guys have a good day.
Thanks for sharing that story with us. It's an interesting one because it seems like that could be quite a dangerous thing to suddenly make the electric cord burst into flames and you got your loved ones right there as a sign that, hey, I'm still here. But I guess did he know that they would know how to handle putting out the flames? I guess would be my question.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one. And just to clarify here, the being with the red eyes, that has nothing to do with Dad, correct?
No, that sounds like it was like their encounter that happened together with him, and then there was just, it was a two totally separate encounters, but both involving the father, one when they were together, one when Dad had passed and seemed to wanted to let them know that, hey, I'm still here, let's light up the extension cord.
So I am going to compare his dad from the afterlife coming to say hello and sparking the fire there with the cord as, well, a story involving my dad, as my dad is still living. Mm-hmm. But in some cases, dads try to do things for their family, and they may or may not be an expert in that department. I use this story as an example. My dad, 4th of July, fireworks, family gathering tradition. My dad was always a big, and still to this day, a big fan of tradition and parades and holidays. Worked as a delivery driver for a local delivery company, and on his route would come across in Wisconsin, they have a lot of fireworks stands, mm-hmm. basically on the side of the interstate, and you don't need a license, you don't need any permit, you can just go, and if you have $20, you can buy some fireworks. Fast forward to 4th of July, night of, backyard. We didn't live in a huge farm or barn or several acres. I mean, we were in a neighborhood, maybe a quarter acre backyard, close house, close garage proximity, and my dad would put the fireworks on the ground close to the garage, having absolutely no idea what they would do when you lit them. Took out a match, took out a lighter, gonna impress the fam.
Yep.
Woo, fireworks, 4th of July. We almost lit the garage on fire. and how my sisters and I, my dad, still have all of our limbs and extremities to this day is nothing short of a miracle. So I bring that story up in the sense of maybe dad was coming back to say hello, but oh, shit. I mean, I just wanted to say, hey, I just wanted to send a little extra current through the cord there. I didn't want to, you know, light anybody on fire.
That it does seem like a very dad thing to do. Like, I'm like, maybe I can make like the lights dim or something and kind of get that little effect. And so like, shit, I just blew up the barn, you know, and it is a very dad thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm going to chalk that one up. It was a whoops-a-daisy. It's just wanted to say hello. Fuck, that's a flame.
Yeah, it's like, hey, maybe find something a little easier to do. Like just maybe flip the light switch on. That'd be a smart thing to do. Not smart if you don't know
Here's
what you're doing
deal,
as
Dad.
A ghost. Yeah. Boom.
Next time, just make somebody piss their pants when the microwave is on. And you can say, remember when we watched Christmas Vacation and Eddie and... You went to the restroom in your pants because the microwave was on. They were trying to warm up pizza.
Yeah.
A lot better than flame and electrical current.
I would completely agree. Another not so smart thing is when you're looking to hire and you go to job sites and you post the listing for the job 500 different places with your one email address, and please send all your resumes and everything right here. And the listing is just, you know, convoluted, and it turns into a nightmare trying to find the perfect hire. Don't do that. There is a solution that's not smart. The smart thing to do these days is use ZipRecruiter. Okay? ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Go there right now. You will find the right person. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes, identifies people with all the right skills, education, experience for the job, and actively invites them to apply to get qualified candidates really, really fast. That's why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S. The rating comes from the hiring sites on Trustpilot with over 1,000 reviews. So right now, if you guys, you're in that position of hiring, don't do the dumb dad move and blow the garage up. Go to our very special website with ZipRecruiter. It's ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, and you can try ZipRecruiter for free. You'll find out just how amazing this it's software, but it's online software, so it's not like something you have to download or anything like that. Find out how amazing ZipRecruiter is and what they have. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. You like the little transition there? I thought that was a pretty smooth transition into a commercial.
That was fantastic, wasn't it? Right there, as always, scripted that, which we did not.
We did not. I saw an in, and I jumped at it. Mike.
He shoots, he scores.
I got to get that in the first 15 minutes, and I came pretty damn close. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another story. Hi. Let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Devin, and I'm from Howard, Ohio. I have a ghost story that occurred about 3 years ago. My ex-boyfriend and I, he didn't live with me at the time, but I lived in a house that I rented at the time. I had four kids, and the way the house was set up was the back door, when you opened it, it led to the basement, had a half bathroom, my bedroom, and the laundry room. And then to the left of the back door, you could walk through the kitchen, into the dining room, through the living room. That was the first level of the house. It also had a half bath. And then you walked up two short flights of steps that led to two bedrooms upstairs and a full bathroom. So when I first moved in, nothing weird happened. I currently had worked night shift, and I also had a guest house out back, a mini guest house. It was a garage that was turned into like a mini house. Had a bathroom, a little kitchen, sliding glass doors, and kind of like a living room all combined, bedroom, whatever. I used to let my sister live out there in exchange for free babysitting. So I worked 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. I had the option of getting off at 3:30 in the morning. So I got off early one morning. I came home. I went down to the basement, laid in bed. My kids were out back with my sister. And I heard something come through the back door. and walk in through the kitchen, through the living room. I'm thinking my boyfriend came home early to surprise me. I'm laying in bed. I waited for a while, about 10 minutes. It's about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I hear nothing. So I get up out of bed and I walk upstairs in the dark. I'm usually terrified of the dark, but at this point I'm thinking somebody's home. There's no reason to be scared, obviously. Walk through the house and through the living room. Don't hear or see anything. I walk to the front door and look out and realize that my car is the only car there. I'm a little freaked out at this point, but I'm like, okay, I'm hearing things, whatever. I walked back downstairs, and as soon as I turned the corner to go back to bed, something ran across my living room floor. It's a wood floor. And it was so loud, I thought somebody was coming to murder me. So I ran over behind my bed. I started crying. I called my mom. I was crying to her. Four things in my house. I don't know what it is. Called my boyfriend. Actually, he was still at work, and he didn't believe me. So he stayed with me on the phone, left his work. He went to his apartment, grabbed a gun, came to my house and kind of just inspected it. And he thought I was just kind of full of crap. I've never been sensitive to anything. I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in an afterlife. I'm kind of just, you know, we're here and that's what it is. And so I chalked it up to nothing. Well, after that, like the kids would never sleep all the way upstairs. They were kind of afraid of it. So they would always kind of fall asleep on the couch and we just kind of allowed it. At night, we would be downstairs in my bed. I would be either asleep or, and he was on the computer. We were watching a movie or whatever. And you could hear something get up and walk across the floor. And we're thinking, okay, it's the kids. So we would sneak upstairs to try to catch them sneaking around late at night. Everybody was asleep on the couch. It was weird. We just kept chalking up to maybe it was them, you know, getting up and then running back to the couch when they heard us coming upstairs. Then it started happening when my kids would go to their dad's. And they weren't home on the weekends. It would be the footsteps running back and forth across the living room. You could hear it through the dining room. At one point, we had heard chairs scraping across the floor in the dining room. And at this point, you would think I'd be really freaked out. But, you know, I had my ex there with me who at the time kept saying, like, he had things follow him his whole life. And he told me, like, it's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt us. So it was kind of like the norm for about a year that I lived there. One of the last things that happened when I lived there was we were laying in bed and you heard something come from the top of the steps. It ran through the living room and through the dining room, through the kitchen, and it stopped at the top of my stairs and it was crying, Mommy. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's my daughter Addison. It sounds just like her. She's crying my name. And when I jumped up, my ex said, nobody's here. I had realized the kids were out back with my sister. Nobody was in the house. Even though I should have been scared, I'm thinking she came inside. I run upstairs to find her. Pitch black in the house. Nobody's in there. I go out back to the guest house and talk to my sister. My sister confirmed that they were all laying on the floor, you know, in her living room watching TV. I went in there. They were all laying there. They were asleep. It was bizarre. It was freaky. You know, to this day, when we would talk about it to people and people say, are you sure you're just not hearing things? You know, he was there to kind of confirm, like, I don't even, you know, believe in this type of thing. But we heard, you know, like something say, Mommy crying. It was a voice. It was super scary. After that, the noises stopped. We didn't hear anything for the next year that I lived there. At one point, I had contacted my landlord and asked them if they had experienced anything creepy in the house. And they said no. And that was kind of it until I moved out. Right when I moved out, I had a couple kitchen drawers open when I would come home, and that wasn't anything freaky. So to this day, even hear the running, I could hear something crying for me. You know, I chalk it up to just it being anything, because I've been a nurse for a couple years now. I work in hospice care for the last 6 months. I've seen a lot of deaths. A lot of superstitious STNAs and nurses that I've worked with, clinical instructors. I have never experienced anything before or after that that was super paranormal. I've seen, you know, a lot of people die. I've watched them take their last breath. I have never experienced anything before. I kind of just feel like that I'm not sensitive to that kind of thing, but I know what I heard back then, and it was scary as hell. So here just recently, I decided to buy a Ouija board. In the current house I live in now, it's a condo, and I live next door to an old couple, and, you know, you can't really hear them. The walls are kind of thick. They don't make noises or anything like that. So I bought a Ouija board, and of course, my husband and I we played it a couple times. I played it around my friends. Nothing happened, of course. I don't even believe in that, so nothing happened. But over the last couple of days, it's actually been weird. We just got a dog for the first time about a month ago, and he will get up in the middle of the night, and he'll bark in my hallway, and he'll growl at it. And, you know, my husband and I will get up and go out in the hallway and look, and there's nothing out there. My kids aren't up. Everybody's asleep. Well, the last couple of days that I've been laying in bed, my husband leaves for work about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was around 5:10. And the dog, for the last couple of days, has been going out to the living room door, and he'll be growling at it, and I'll have to get up and take him back to my room and shut the door, so I don't want him waking up the kids. And I was dreaming. It was a vivid dream. I don't remember who this man was, what he looked like, what his name was, or anything. But he, in this really scary voice, says, "Hey." And at the same time that this voice in my head in my dream said, "Hey," I wake up to the dog barking in the living room in the dark about 5 o'clock in the morning. And it freaked me out so bad. I'm sweating. My heart's racing. And I go out. I get the dog. I shut my door, make him lay on my bed, and everything's fine. Yesterday morning, my husband leaves for work. The dog's in the bed with me. He's asleep. And I turn this little nightlight, these string of lights I have on above my bed because, you know, I'm terrified of the dark, even though I don't believe in ghosts. But I have the lights on, and I hear something walking around the room. So I get up, and I look around, and nothing. I'm thinking my kids are awake. My daughter's coming in, you know, to lay in bed with me. Nobody's there. I get back down at this point. I'm in that stage where I'm not in a deep sleep, but I'm not fully awake either. I'm kind of just laying there trying to sleep. And I feel something behind me kind of indent. Like I feel something try to lay in bed with me. I'm thinking, okay, it's my daughter this time. I turned over and look, nothing's there. The dog's still sleeping. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe the dog's moving. And I just kind of don't know. You know, like whenever I get up and look, maybe he's already had his head back down or something. I don't know. That happened a couple times where I just kind of heard those footsteps in my room or felt something get on the bed with me, and then I would look around and nothing would be there. And that's about it so far. Nothing else creepy has ever happened in this house. My kids, that's another story, but my dad, my husband, and my kids have all claimed they've heard a knocking on my back door that comes in threes. I'm in this house all the time alone. I'm alone now. I'm alone at nighttime, in the morning. I have never heard knocking on that back door. This was before the Ouija board, by the way. I just got this a couple weeks ago. But for the last couple months, they've all claimed that they've heard this knocking on my back door. It's a back porch, and it's closed in. There's no steps, and it's pretty high off the ground. It's out in the country where it sits, so there's nothing that could, like, get up there and get back down. So I don't know what it is necessarily. I know that a couple months ago, it was summertime. My boys were playing, you know, Xbox in the living room. It was probably about 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying in bed still asleep. They come hauling into my bedroom, screaming, crying. You know, they're 9 and 8 at the time, saying that something in my front window smacked it. And my son looked over because he was sitting on the couch against the window, and he said that he seen a shadow of a hand pull away. And the other one said he heard the bang. So I get straight up out of bed, and I run to my front door, and I'm looking outside, seeing if, you know, my neighbors are walking their little dog, or if anybody's outside. You know, we have lawn maintenance care. We have lawn care that gets taken care of. And so I'm looking out, seeing if, you know, people are mowing the grass or whatever. But obviously, it's so early. Nobody was out. It was still kind of dark outside, actually. So I chalked that up to nothing, and then shortly after the boys claimed they seen and heard that handprint on my front window, now the knocking on the back door has started. Like I said, I have never heard or seen anything here creepy other than thinking that something was walking around my room yesterday morning, but I still chalk it up to the dog. And, you know, clear back when those footsteps happened in my old house, I still, now that I'm away from it, you always think back and you're like, maybe it could have been this. And I know back then there was no explanation because my ex and I both have heard that several times at night, and we kind of just got adjusted to it. But that's my ghost story so far. I really don't have anything freaky happen, and I don't know if it's because I'm not sensitive and everybody else, but I'm interested in it regardless. I love the hospice field that I work in. It's very interesting. I love being a nurse and dealing with geriatrics and everything like that. So I hope you enjoyed my ghost story, and I hope you have a good day. Thanks.
It's one of those stories where at the end, I would love to have asked her, so do you still not believe in any of this stuff after having an experience that disturbing, that powerful?
Lots happening there. I can understand how, whether it's one or 20 situations that come up where you can just become immune, but you have to, I would think at this point, you kind of have to reevaluate your thought of there's nothing to look into there. It's just a random coincidence. What really got me is when she heard her daughter. I thought there was going to be something where earlier in life, her and her ex had a miscarriage, or maybe they had a child that passed away, or there was something there, and I was going to chalk it up to that. But that was so early into the call that so much happened after that, that's quite the conundrum. I would absolutely ask her or have an opportunity to say, so what's your thoughts now? Because there's something there. There's too much happening for you to just chalk this up as random occurrences.
My advice to her would be, even if you don't believe in things like Ouija boards or whatnot, obviously these things are happening. There is a certain curiosity going on there that you may not verbally be saying, I believe in this, but there's an element of you that's going, maybe there is something to this if they even got the damn thing. And the advice there is, don't open doors. Don't mess around with things that you don't understand or don't believe in, just because I'm sure you probably didn't believe this shit that's going on in your house couldn't happen either, and it is. So I wouldn't be trying to stir the pot with unknown ladles, if you will. Don't use strange ladles in the pot. Make sure they're clean. That would be my weird advice there.
I also thought that it was a squirrel at first that flew across the floor.
That does happen sometimes. We live in squirrel land right here, and they are out with a vengeance right now. And the other day I was up in the dining room, and I'm the only one in the house, and all of a sudden I hear this sound. And to me, it sounds like there's somebody like crawling through like the ceiling or something up towards the front. And oh, it's just a squirrel. He's in the gutter and he's stuck because we have those gutter guards. He got himself like burrowed in there and he's trying to figure out a way out, but it's so close to the house. It sounds like he's like in the wall. So there you go.
Did he get out?
I don't know. We'll find out if it starts smelling out there. We'll know the answer to that shortly.
Oh, he's just looking for his nuts.
Yeah, well, he probably should be considering he ate all of my tomatoes this year and pretty much made my garden a complete bust. So I'm not out to kill them. I'm not out to destroy them or ruin their lives or make them emotionally so inept that they don't feel like being squirrels anymore. These are all things.
There is a single squirrel mom now because dad went out to get dinner.
Yeah.
Got caught in the gutter guard, and now she's a single working woman.
Well,
with all of her little squirrels, his dad never came home.
Hopefully, it doesn't make the young squirrels. I hope they have a good upbringing and they don't do what dad did, where dad came and stole all of my garden. Hopefully, they make a change in that path and they go a different direction in their little furry lives. 855-853-4802 is our number. One more call. Hi.
Hi, my name is Megan. I'm driving to work right now, and something happened really weird that I finally just decided I would call in and kind of talk things through. So I don't necessarily believe in everything. I wouldn't say I'm a skeptic, but I would say that I just don't like to admit things could be weird like that. But the first time I ever had something weird happen, I would say it was like 2 or 3 years ago, and it was when my older sister was still living at home with me, my family, and then my younger brother, and my parents were sitting in our living room, and my siblings and I were sitting in the kitchen, and then right down our stairs is our front door. It's not a small house, but it's a compact house, and the front door was open and it was evening, but we have lights all in the front yard of our house, so it's all very well lit, street lights, everything. And we were just watching TV, like nothing weird had happened. We were just like hanging out, and all of a sudden there were 3 giant hounds at our front door. And my siblings, to the point where I like jumped and I looked at my siblings and they both looked at me like, what the heck is that? And the pounds were with like such urgency, like somebody needed to get our attention. And we look at our parents who are sitting in the living room completely unfazed. They're closer to the front door. So we look at them and I'm like, Mom, did you not just hear that? Someone's at the front door. And my mom looks at me, she starts laughing. She's like, nobody's at the front door. And we're like, okay. And I look at my brother and I'm like, you heard that. And at the time, my brother was only 14 or 15. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, somebody's at the front door and nobody's going to go look. And I was like, okay, well, I'll just go look. And I was standing in the kitchen and I could look down the stairs at the front door and it was open, but no one was standing there. And I was like, okay, well, I live in a neighborhood where a bunch of kids, I go to high school with a lot of these kids, so maybe it's just one of them. So whatever, ding dong ditch. Okay, cool. So we went, we sat back down, we're watching TV, and it might have been like 20, 25 minutes later. And again, these same three loud pounds are at the front door. And I'm like, okay, so this, there's no way this is ding dong ditch because I was standing at the counter where the door was and I would have in my peripheral seen someone run up, seen someone standing there. We have a giant front glass door. There is no way I would not have seen something. And immediately when I heard, like maybe by the second pound, I was looking at the front door, nothing was there. But this was a pound that I could have heard from my bedroom across the house. That is how insanely like rattling these pounds were. And I like whipped around back to my siblings and they're both, my sister at this point, her face was white. And I was like, okay, is it coming from the back door? Like we looked at the back door. We have a giant like 6-foot privacy fence. No one can get in our yard. And I look at my dad and he's looking at us and he's like, what is wrong? And my brother's like, there is someone at the front door. And they're like, my mom finally rolls her eyes and stands up and looks at the front door. And she goes, there is no one there. She's like, you guys need to calm down. There is no one there. I don't know what you think you guys are hearing, but it's probably the TV. And I'm pretty sure we were watching like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Like nothing that these pounds would have been causing our house to shake. And finally, I think my siblings and I like slept in the same room that night because we were so freaked out by it. And that was the first like weird thing that happened. But at that point, I was like, it's just something weird happening. Whatever, maybe it's thunder. I was trying to find any logical reason for this to happen, and I couldn't. But I just kind of brushed it off as, you know, we're just being weird kids, we're our imagination. So the second instance that happened, and there were other little things that have happened in life that I've found reasons not to look into, but I have a 1.5 now year old husky. He is my absolute world. Like people say that their dogs are their kids. This dog is my child. I do everything for this dog. I found the best breeder. He's on the best foods. He's on any kind of vitamin he may need. My dog is healthy. I get my dog checked. I work at an animal hospital. My dog is healthy. And I like to listen to other podcasts. Just to kind of hear things. I like creepy things. I would never want to be faced with a creepy thing like I have been, but I like to hear about creepy things that happen to other people. And there was a podcast about demons and all that crazy stuff. So I was just for hours listening to this podcast, and I had a friend home from Florida and we were all going to go out to a bar that night. So I was getting ready and it was like early evening, maybe 7 or 8. And all of a sudden I was standing in my room and my vision started to get really dark. And to the point where I was like, am I about to pass out? Like, I've eaten today. I'm not like diabetic to the point where I was like, am I going to faint right now? And I just kind of stood there for a second and I was like, well, I didn't get up too fast because I've been standing and it was really weird. And it was to the point where I felt like I wasn't myself. And I was like, okay, well, that's really weird. It started to go away, and my dog was sitting on my bed, and he was sleeping, but he sat up and was looking at me. And I was just looking at him, and I was like, okay, well, let's go outside. Like, it's fine, whatever. And this was a couple of days after the 4th of July. And I let him outside like normal, and I went back in my room. He was going to do his business. I was going to go finish doing something and go back and get him. Well, as everyone that has a husky knows, huskies howl. My husky doesn't howl because I got him really young. He never really learned how to howl. I tried to teach him, but that's just me being a dumb dog owner. But he doesn't ever howl. He barks, he doesn't howl. My dad had walked into the kitchen for something, and all of a sudden he just said something to me that I didn't hear it at first, so I just kind of ignored it. And in the podcast, literally at that point, they said, you know, if you're too strong for a demon to get, they'll attack what means the most to you. And, oh, I got, like, the chills for a second thinking about that. But they'll attack what means the most to you. And I was like, that's such bullshit. Like, none of this is real. It's just creepy, scary stories to make kids go to church or go to sleep, whatever. And I kind of rolled my eyes at it and was ignoring it. And I just continued to get ready. And my dad, he's standing in the kitchen and he goes, Megan, your dog is howling. And I'm like, my dog is howling. I was like, it's not Renly. It's another neighbor's husky. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking there are no neighbors with huskies. But he goes, your dog is hunched over howling. And I'm like, okay. We were dog sitting my friend's husky, and I was like, well, maybe he stepped on his foot, hurt his knee, something happened. My dog's a huge baby. He throws a fit when it's raining. And I walked outside, and I was like, oh, and I knelt down in front of him. I saw that he was hunched over. He was sitting, he was hunched over, and he was howling. And I was like, Bud, like, what's wrong? And I knelt down in front of him, and as soon as I knelt down in front of him, he went into a full seizure, a full stiff as, and I mean, I work in an animal hospital. I've seen deceased animals and how rigor mortis sets in, and my dog was in a full seizure, stiff as a dead body. And it was the scariest thing in my life because I was helpless. I've seen seizures every day that I have been in practice, but the fact that I could not do anything for him to make it stop killed me, and it broke my heart. And I just sat there and I kind of pulled him in my lap, and he seized for about a minute and a half and he started to come out of it. And he went through the hole. He wasn't himself. He was barking. He was lunging. And then finally he had a look on his face where he wasn't looking. And this was when he was almost out of this whole like post seizure phase, where he looked behind me. He didn't look at me. And there was a look of fear in this dog's eyes that I have never seen before. And he started to cry and he ran into my lap and just collapsed. And yeah, of course, I know people are going to say, oh, it was the seizure. He wasn't right in his head. I know my dog, and I could see in his face that he was not looking at me. He was looking behind me with fear in his eyes. And I took him to the ER that night. He spent the night at the ER, and they said he now has idiopathic epilepsy, which huskies can develop before they're two, so I know a lot of people kind of chuck it up to that. And of course I did it first, but I was, the next few days I was sitting there just thinking, I felt like I could have passed out or I could have had a seizure that same night, and within a half hour my dog had a seizure. So either I'm just really in tune with my dog, or something weird happened that night that I can't explain. And then the final thing was kind of what happened 15 minutes ago, that I was finally like, I need to call in, where I work the night shift. So I work from midnight until around 8 a.m. And I was standing in my kitchen, and by now my brother, he's going to go to college in a couple weeks. So he's at his friend's house. And then my sister doesn't live here anymore. She's engaged, and my parents go to sleep relatively early. And I was just standing in the kitchen, and I just felt like there were eyes on me.
And that's where it ends, felt like there were eyes on me. So there's something it feels like is following this woman around.
It just cut off?
It just cut off.
Comforting.
That's the end.
Yeah, that's, do we don't have a callback number, caller ID.
No, I don't have a callback number on that. So I don't know exactly, you know, where it ends, but just judging by where it was going, I'm thinking there's something that that's been following her and has been certainly affecting many aspects of her life. It makes me wonder if what she does in that field and God bless her that this is a field she's passionate about and loves, because that's got to be a difficult field to be in. If sometimes being around that, because we hear stories so often of folks who are in like a hospice situation where they start seeing loved ones, they start seeing stuff, and there's sometimes really unexplained stuff that goes down in some of those areas. If you have to wonder, you're around that every single day, did somebody come in to visit or help someone over and they said, "Nah, I'm over here now. I think I'm going to stick around and I'm going to go with this nurse."
I mean, I believe that... being in that situation, I think you're wired a little bit differently to begin with. I mean, you have nurses, doctors, people that work in emergency rooms, adrenaline. That's what they can control to be in that situation. But to the point of a patient coming in or somebody's loved one that was transferred into her care, that they move on. And again, we always talk about when someone comes back to visit them, it immediately goes to fear or negative thoughts, but maybe they took a liking to her and they reached out, and obviously they were visiting her dog and now on to her. And I hope it's positive. I hope it's friendly visits, because I'd like to think that it wasn't something where she was a part of a procedure that ultimately led to the person's death.
Yeah.
And now they're coming back for vengeance. That would surely be a good movie to watch, but not in real life. That's not good.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, sign up to be an EPP. Extra podcast person on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and a whole lot more at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month is what keeps this thing on the air. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.